your newsletter a way to see how many people exactly interacted with, like, okay, so you have that way of seeing the stat.
Once I started using School Messenger, I was able to report and see how many got opened.
Oh, there you go.
And then not only that, but also how many times people clicked on the links inside.
Yeah.
And so we're able to kind of look at, okay, are people clicking on the links and going and looking at the PDFs and the outside information that we're linking to or not? And we're realizing we need to kind of pivot a little bit and maybe get all the information inside of the email, because it's a very low click rate.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's depending on whatever it is that we're sending out. We've always been kind of surprised by one of our highest ones is actually the board report.
The board report.
And when we sent out one of our first surveys for communication about, you know, what resource are you getting from us that you enjoy, that you like, that tells you a lot of information, and rank them. And the board report was number one.
And we were literally thinking we were going to be able to take like this survey data to be like, we can probably get rid of the board report. And right. They're like, no, backfired.
That's true. I mean, whatever you think, I mean, it's just good to have that, you know, that data. So then you can say, okay, well, a lot of people are actually opening this up and clicking on the links and, you know, sort of thing. So,
We need to start putting our newsletter inside the board report if we want people to read it.
Yeah. Oh, so, and you're talking newsletter to parents.
No, our newsletter is
to the staff.
Faculty.
Maybe just like a really interesting like subject line, like something that's going to make people click automatically. Like maybe it's like you're instilling fear in some way.
No. Jeremy tried to give away a Starbucks gift card, and
I had two people enter to win.
Yep.
Did it say in the subject line?
I think
it was like at top at the body of what we sent.
It was pretty high up, if I remember correctly. But also one thing I've learned is that a lot of people, because it's coming from an external email source, it's getting sorted out of their primary inbox and it's going to their forums. So like I'm working with Ashley right now. She uses Constant Contact. And so we're working with her to try and get some coding into our web domain so that her emails, it appears like it's coming from inside of FISD and not as an external email.
Oh, gotcha.
If we can figure that out, then we can figure it out for us with School Messenger as well. Mm-hmm. So it looks like it's coming from communications or from somebody in technology, and it doesn't have that little external email bracket.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, I don't know, like when y'all talked about sending something out, like I never remembered seeing it, but we have our stuff organized cause we get all of the campus emails too. So, we have our email sorted kind of in a certain way. Mm. So like all the campus emails go to like our forums tab.
Right.
Well, that's when I went back and tried to search for y'all's, survey or newsletter, whatever it was. I think it was a survey. It had been in the forums tab. So I'm like, no wonder it got, you know, kind of lost in the mix. Yep. Cause there's so many that come in, especially like this time of year, like the Mustang marketplace with all the rodeo
rodeo tickets.
Yes.
Well, let's get started. Welcome to season 3, episode 9 of FISD's The Podcast. We're Kelsey Goals.
That's me.
And Dana Owen. That's me. Have the pleasure of interviewing interesting people and discussing anything and everything FISD. So I'm not going to lie, we took a little bit of a break here, but we are coming back strong today talking about one of my favorite topics, artificial intelligence. And we are talking to Jeremy Walker, Executive Director of Technology, and Lana Barajas, Instructional Technology Coordinator here in Friendswood ISD. So welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Oh, I like that. Studio audience is always great with coming
through. The flies on the wall.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by how many people we can get in here.
It's true. And they get quiet so quickly. I don't find that they laugh at my jokes as much as...
I'll work on that one. I'll do the cricket sound.
Yeah, exactly. Lana, your name sounds like a news broadcaster to me. Like, and I'm Lana Barajas from Channel 2 News. Back to you, Bobby.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is the reporter at Channel 2, Bill Barajas. And then my husband's cousin is Eric Barajas on 13. He's the anchor there. My father-in-law was on Fox for 20-plus years.
How does that happen? Like, just naturally, you think they're just gravitated towards that because it was already in the family, and then...
My father-in-law, like, totally laid that groundwork.
Okay.
That was what he wanted to do, and, you know, first-generation American came to Texas and went to U of H, and
that's awesome.
That's all he like ever dreamed of. And two of his three sons, my husband not included, he's the black sheep, went in his footsteps, and then a cousin. So
yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And Jeremy, by the way, has the voice
literally
of a radio broadcaster.
Literally every time you speak, that's what I think. I'm like, oh my gosh, this man needs to be doing, he needs to be doing the podcast.
Radio, I know, totally.
Well, I appreciate that. As long as you don't tell me I have a face for radio, then we're okay.
Listen to that voice. Did you even put something special just now? Oh, that's funny.
Like you should be like doing like the most interesting man in the world commercials. Like that's you should be like the voiceover for that.
Hey, you know, we could definitely use him for,
oh my gosh.
Or Luke needs to use him for a This Is Friendswood video.
This is true.
That would be funny. I know. That could be really good.
Tony Hopkins may be a little jealous because he is considered the voice of the Mustangs.
That's true.
That's a big
Tony,
deal.
Tony got a lot of competition going now.
Jeremy's coming for your game.
Look out. So hopefully one question that we're going to be able to answer today is, when are robots going to be taking over our schools? I'm just kidding. I do hope to cause some controversy today. I do hope nothing would make my heart happier
than to fight,
than to get people a little fired up about this topic. You should see the faces in front of me right now. Lana and Jeremy are like, what is she saying? Be quiet.
And I'm just laughing.
But I do think, now listen, I'm not a principal. I'm not the superintendent. I am not you guys who have to really kind of get this initiative and work on this initiative. I'm going to explain a little bit why I'm even on the committee in a second, but I do feel like part of my my position and role should be, though, to kind of stir the pot a little bit. Lana has dealt with me a little bit. She knows how I feel and what I think when it comes to this topic. I just think we're a little, we just get a little nervous a little too quickly, personally. Now, I don't have the responsibilities of having to deal with the fallout, right? Mm-hmm. So it's easy for me to say,
yeah,
is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
You most definitely have more of that responsibility, and our soup has more of that responsibility. And I don't, so I can just kind of talk about the things that I want, not have to deal with the problems. So just, if you're hearing us talk about that and you hear me say some things and it upsets you, just know that it doesn't matter what I think. All right. It doesn't matter what I think, because it doesn't mean it's going to happen just because I think
important.
That.
What you think matters.
Thank you, Jeremy. It may matter, but it's not going to, get anyone to actually do it, I guess. You know, when people say, hey, Dana, can we so-and-so? And I'm like, you're talking to the wrong person. I have no sway or no say in what goes on in the school district. So
what you're basically saying is my opinions are my own and do not reflect that of friends.
Exactly.
It's like the disclaimer.
You're giving that disclaimer,
Kelsey. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. You can be that for this podcast today.
Jeremy and I are trying to not be on Friendswood Mom and Dad's Facebook group.
Right.
So.
Right. And I would love for nothing more than this podcast being talked about on Friendswood Moms and Dads. Because it's an interesting topic. Some people, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We get a lot of opinions. There are some people that makes people really nervous and think that AI, whatever form that is, may be taking over our world and schools and all that. I don't tend to think that, but what do I know? I'm just talking about it. So I'm enjoying talking about the subject, and there's nothing more that I would love to see more than whenever we post this today on social media. We would love to hear your comments. We would love to hear your thoughts after you listen to the podcast. Maybe it would change kind of some things that you think, but we would love to hear what you think after you listen to the podcast and kind of share your thoughts on AI. So let me stop talking. Jeremy, will you kind of introduce yourself? And I introduced you already, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Jeremy Walker, and this is my first year here in Friendswood. I've been living in Friendswood for about 4 years now. My wife grew up here, and so I'm actually sitting in a building. It's the annex that she went to junior high in. And so that's kind of a really surreal kind of thing for me, where I'm walking the halls where my wife walked as a teenager. And so I've got two little guys in the district with me. They are a fifth grader and a third grader at Bales, and they are doing awesome. And I love all those guys over there and who are helping them out. And so I'm excited to be here. I've been in public education since about 2004.
Okay.
Serving as a teacher, basketball coach, football coach, peer facilitator, tech liaison, assistant principal, a whole host of roles.
Oh, Jeremy,
hats.
I didn't know that. Okay, that's good to know. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't in on your interview. I mean, I really didn't know all the ins and outs of that you were a coach and assistant principal and all that. Now, where were you? What district did you come from?
So most of my career was spent in Pasadena ISD.
Okay.
And then for the past 4 years, I served in Dickinson ISD.
Okay. Now, where are you from?
Oh, a little bit of a mutt, a little bit of a mongrel. So I was born in Pasadena. So I spent most of probably my primary years in Pasadena, then finished up across the channel over in Channel View before I headed off to Texas A&M.
Okay. How old are you, Jeremy?
I'm 42.
Oh gosh, you're so much younger than me. I grew up in Pasadena, and
part?
I graduated from Sam Rayburn High School.
Yes, my brother graduated from Sam Rayburn.
Okay, small world. I did not know that. So Amber's also from.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, she's also from FISD. Lana, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm also new to the district, and I've brought my kiddos with me, and I've got a seventh grader at the junior high, fourth grader over at Klein, and they are more than thriving. It's been a really good transition for the whole family, having me in the district, and got about 15 years in education, started out in Pearland as a CTE teacher, and then moved over to Pasadena where I was the tech liaison at Sam Rayburn.
I think I knew that. I think we had that conversation. So what course did you teach in CTE?
I taught a career connections course, and I taught audio video production.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're like Mr. Tag.
Mm-hmm. Sort of, except I had to do a lot of it with free resources. We didn't have a lot of paid for software. So yeah, because it was at the junior high. So
right.
But,
and tell us what an instructional coordinator, what's your role?
Well, right now it feels like I spend a lot of time making sure that everybody has access to all of the things that they need to have access to. And then been also working a lot with our elementary teaching and learning team and helping them build out some rapid assessments to get some data to help them figure out where gaps in learning are occurring so that we can address those gaps in a timely manner, right? Because that's super important for our kiddos. So kind of been doing a little bit of everything and figuring out how we do things here in Friendswood and get my feet wet, just kind of jumping in there and get my hands dirty.
Well, that's one of the beautiful things about your first year is you get 1 year to say, I'm not sure.
Right.
Let me look into that.
Right. Just one year.
Right. Pretty much.
The clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking. And you've got like 4 more months left. So, it's kind of crazy, but, you're doing a great job. You'll have a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
You've come in and just done an excellent job.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, if you're listening to this and you end up having any questions, obviously we have a Let's Chat on our website. If you have any questions for technology, go in, ask a question. They would be more than happy to get back with you.
Absolutely.
And answer any questions that you have. So, let me just kind of quickly explain AI, kind of how that came about. Superintendent Rohr is part of a Future Ready Superintendents cohort. So think about all the superintendents in Texas coming together to learn strategies, current issues, best practices for superintendents and even new superintendents. So you have mentors. Mr. Rohr is a mentor to multiple superintendents. And he had the same when he was a first year. But Thad knows my passion, talked with me one day about, hey, would you be interested in being a part of starting an AI committee? I know you love that sort of thing. And so I got with Kelsey and said, hey, let's go talk to Lana. Lana is. And one of the reasons is you're kind of responsible for bringing in
innovation.
Innovation, right? Yeah. Instructional practices.
Absolutely.
Right. With our teachers. So just kind of sat down with Lana and said, and we knew that there were going to be multiple teachers a part of this superintendent's cohort. And so, hey, how can we find out what we need to find out about AI, people's comfort level, what they think about it, their ease, you know, of using it in the classroom? And so we did a survey, got information back and said, let's just pick people across the board, administrators, teachers, heavy on teachers, some instructional coaches, comfort, not comfortable, just across the board, just a variety, diversity of the team, right? And then we had our first meeting recently. And one of the things that we really wanted to do is we wanted to sit down and just give them time to learn and play with some of these platforms of how AI can help them as resources with instruction.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we took away from the survey that was probably surprising is that the scary parts of AI, like, yes, they exist. And I think we've recognized them and we've validated them, but people are interested and excited to get out there and see what it could do for them, and how it can impact student outcomes and how we can provide more timely feedback to students in the writing process and how we can personalize learning. Like, there's so many different applications of how we can use AI in our industry, being educators, that you could literally find a tool that would do the very precise and specific thing that you needed to have help with. So it's super versatile.
And we're going to get into that a little bit more. So let me back up just a little bit. You two just recently, Monday night, did a board workshop. And Jeremy, you started off with part of that presentation was talking about the ins and outs of AI, what it is, what it isn't, the fears that come along with AI. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was really important for us to acknowledge that there is a lot of fear around AI, and that's okay. You know, this is a very, very new thing. And so what we talked with the board about was, hey, let's take a look at some of these common fears about AI. So we just kind of listed them out. We talked them through. And it was really a conversational piece between us as presenters and the board. And what we then kind of pivoted to was to show, hey, we had all those same fears when the internet came online. So for those of us that have some gray hair, you know, that fear was there, that we thought the internet was going to change everything, you know, instead of having everything on paper or analog, having everything in the digital, in the digital world was super, super scary. And it was super scary because it was unknown. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what it meant. We didn't know what it meant to us, if it was going to, how it was going to change how we do things. And so it was really important for us to, before we really launch into how we're moving forward, let's acknowledge how we feel. Because we as human beings, if we don't acknowledge how we feel, we kind of press that down, and then all sorts of resentment and angst and pushback can occur. But if we feel like we've been heard, if we feel like we've been acknowledged, then we can start having the conversation. And so that's really how we started. And then when we went from there, we started looking at, okay, what is and what isn't it? You know, we didn't look at AI as being something like Terminator taking over the world, robots, AI. We're looking at it as a supplement, a complement to teachers and to education.
It is
simply a tool. Mm-hmm. And when we think about how we adapted the internet to our educational purposes, that's exactly what we did. We did not just sit kids on the internet to learn. It is a tool that we use with teachers and each other in the classroom to enhance learning. And so that's the way we're looking at AI as well.
I think that comparison of AI to the internet is such a great one. I mean, it's hard to beat. I mean, I would almost even say the computer, you know, which I guess the internet's the same sort of thing, mm-hmm. concept. You know, my mother said, whenever I was showing my mother some things a while back, My mother said when she first found out about the computer, she was doing the books for a company, and she felt like the computer was going to replace secretaries, that secretaries would no longer. But the computer is a tool that secretaries now use. They haven't replaced secretaries. So it's just a great comparison. I feel like Kelsey, I still think this is a fascinating thing that you found online.
Yes, tell really the audience. Was.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So I had somebody reach out to me. They were looking for something totally unrelated. And so I was going through all these old files, came across a Prezi, for those who remember Prezi.
I love the way Prezis looked. I thought they were too hard to interact with.
Right.
And I feel like that comes easy to me, but that drove the Prezi thing drove me crazy. I don't know. Do y'all remember Prezi?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I love the look of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the way it
flies in and out. Yeah.
And so anyway, as I was like going through this Prezi to see if I could find this picture someone was asking for, I saw a slide. It was 1995-96 school year. FISD gets connected and there's these huge bulky computers. There's a picture of it that were donated to FISD. And so that was the first time we connected to the internet as a district. And also it said we got email, but we only allowed for inner office email.
Internal only.
Internal only. Yeah.
You guys, I want y'all to think about, if you only knew, and listen, I was somewhere, I don't know where I was in 95. It's going to take too long for my brain to figure out actually where I was. No, I was a teacher. I was teaching fifth grade in Pasadena. But I want you to think about people sitting around the table, educators sitting around the table, because I've been a part of this too many times for too many years. There was some great concern about opening up this email system, whatever that was and looked like, to parents. Mm-hmm. Does this mean that a parent can just contact a teacher like through this computer? No, we're not going to allow that right now. We're going to just start with teachers can email each other.
Yes.
I don't know why I think that's so awesome. I think it's fascinating that we took that down.
Yeah.
Like that we took the time to actually put that in our timeline. I love that.
I know.
I hope we kind of, I guess that would be up to us.
We kind of started doing that, like just documenting some of our AI stuff, because it's like we firmly believe that there will be people 20 years in the future looking back at these notes being like, oh my gosh, FISD gets connected to AI, like, right. You know.
And you had said that there were some, Jeremy, you had said that there were some headlines of, there were some school districts that opened up AI, but then they walked it back. Six months later.
So that was part of the research as we were putting together this presentation, was looking for how other districts were responding. Mm-hmm. And so Lana was able to find a lot of headlines from different newspaper articles, periodicals, websites, blogs, things like that, where like one of the things that was the most glaring to us was from the New York City public schools, where banned AI, like just completely
they started out banning it, right?
Complete ban on it. Mm-hmm. And then 6 months later, they walked it back. And if you remember when not too long ago, a lot of our technology leaders, industry leaders, were saying, hey, AI is dangerous. We don't know what it can do. Let's put pause on it. A lot of those technology leaders actually had an AI product in the wings and they just hadn't got it to market yet. Mm. And now that they have it to market, now they're actually promoting it.
Yeah.
And so what we have kind of looked at, and I'm really grateful for Superintendent Rohr and his vision, is, hey, it's here. It's not going anywhere. Let's embrace it.
Right.
And that really reminded me of a lesson I've learned recently about bison on the Great Plains. When they get caught in a blizzard, they don't run away from the blizzard. They lean into it because they know that if they go in the direction the blizzard is coming from, they're going to get out of the blizzard the fastest. It's like right now we have this whole cloud of confusion and fear over us in terms of AI. Well, if we try to outrun it, we're not going to, because it's already on top of us.
Yeah.
So FISD is really looking at, hey, how do we lean in? Mm-hmm. How do we lean in and find out the good in it and how to use it and how to teach our kids and acknowledge that it's scary? And so go slow and have a healthy skepticism about it in order to protect everybody involved, but also realize it's just a tool.
Right. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how artificial intelligence is currently being integrated into FISD, just education in general, FISD, and let's just talk about some, maybe even some of the platforms that we talked about in our first meeting.
So I think one of the things that was important to make sure teachers specifically were aware of is that they're already using AI in their classrooms.
Yeah, so what
and
are those?
So many of
what are
them
some examples?
Don't even recognize that or realize that, right?
Right.
So Dreambox, for example, mm-hmm. any platform that we're working with that's got any sort of predictive analytics built into it, a student takes a diagnostic. From the results of that diagnostic, the system determines what skills they need work on, where those gaps in learning are, and it builds out, you know, another diagnostic or more skill work that they can address and make sure that we're closing those gaps. That's all AI, all of it.
And Jeremy, you had said the other day, which is true, it's just one of those things I don't think about, is like when I'm texting and they're words that are being
input, predictive text.
Predictive text.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's AI.
Text to speech is AI.
Text to speech is AI.
Right, and we're using that to support our special education students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when I pick up my remote and say, pull up this video on YouTube, that's an example of AI.
Absolutely.
What's another one that people might already be using, not having to do with education, just out there that, can y'all think of one?
I recently got a fraud alert on my bank account, right? So somebody tried to open up a bank account in my name to, you know, my identity has been stolen, but predictive analytics, again, there's not anybody sitting at a computer looking over who's trying to open up bank accounts in people's names and trying to, there's not a human doing that. It's taking the analytical data of patterns and what you do financially and determining, is this out of character or not? And that's where those alerts come from.
Right. I don't know. Some parents may use something like I use on my husband, which is I've set up this alert.
What are you getting into?
I've set up this alert. If anything is purchased on Amazon that I needed to be alerted by it, my husband is out of control when it comes to Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
He's out of control. There's actually not an alert, but I do get a notification every time something is purchased. And there's one funny story. So he gets like three or four packages. Christmas time, they make it a little difficult. It's a little hard because when you're ordering from Amazon and it's a Christmas gift and I open them, my husband, I had opened several boxes and there was something wrapped in a plastic bag. I knew as soon as I saw it, it was a skirt that I had wanted. And he takes this plastic bag and he holds it up to me and he goes, "What is this?" And I go, "That's the skirt you ordered me for Christmas." And he goes, "Oh no." So that is funny. I don't know if anybody else has had that issue.
Yeah. This Christmas, Sean, I had sent him several things. Like he does better with just links and sizes and whatever. But I had ordered a pair of shoes for my mom. And like one of the things I had asked for was also a pair of shoes. And he wrapped the shoes for my mom and was like, "Have you seen those come in? Like, they're not my style at all. Not my size, nothing." But he just wrapped anything that came in, you know, and had to go through and unwrap some gifts under the tree to find.
Way to go, Sean. Way to just wrap gifts.
Ooh.
That's impressive.
I think he could take a little more time on his wrapping, if we're being honest. But
hey, he did it. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Sean and I are in the same boat. Yeah. I am not the gift wrapper in the house.
A little crunchy, you know. It's fine.
So let's break some of these down, okay? Just for parents and people that are listening to us talk about AI. Now, this is our world, okay? But we are talking about all things FISD, so they know we're going to be talking about basically the teaching learning side of AI. Let's just talk about, and I'm going to just walk us through several of these, like personalized learning. So when we think AI and personalized learning, what are some things that come to mind when you specifically think about that? How can AI personalize learning for our teachers or students?
One of the things I think about is DFIT. So DFIT is this tool that teachers can use to put in an article, whether that be a news article or a PDF, you know, any sort of written text, even a YouTube video, you put it into this platform. And if you've got a struggling reader in your classroom, you can level that text down to the reading level that your student is, right? And if you've got a dyslexic student, we can create a quick summary of a 12-page article so that we can help them stay it with the rest of the class and stay, right. You know, we're all working together. So we can differentiate the lessons and the resources that we're providing to our kids to make sure that what I'm giving you is exactly what you need.
So if you take hard to understand article, say, and this DFIT summarizes it, do our computers that students have the capability of them pressing a button and it reading it to them in headphones?
Yes.
Has it gotten that far? Okay. Yes. We do have that.
Yep.
Okay.
We do.
Tutoring. These are just some things that I've seen. What would be an example that we can think of? I mean, where a kid would go, or a teacher would say, I don't feel like I'm teaching this well, or this kid needs extra help on this one subject matter. How can AI lend itself to tutoring or reteaching?
So I think about like higher order thinking, mm-hmm. right? So there are tools out there that we could use to help us tackle those complex topics and break them down into learning that our kids can absorb, that they can digest. So we're meeting them where they're at, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the best ways that we could use DFIT. And again, that's just another form of like differentiation, right?
Sure. And I guess when you said, you know, you put it on certain grade levels.
We can even translate it into other languages, right? For our English language learners. Mm-hmm.
You know, I go back to Dana sent a TED Talk video to Lana and I. And one of the things that I think the guy who founded Khan Academy,
it is,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there was this concept of like, say you read, I don't know, like The Scarlet Letter or whatever, like a book that a lot of kids would read in school, that this personalized like AI tutor, which that's what they make clear, is this is a enhancement to the education they're already receiving, not a replacement for it. But so say they read this book in school or they're reading some chapters, they can actually program for basically like a character from The Scarlet Letter to interact with the student. The student can ask questions of that character and the character will respond in a similar manner and of how they would in a book or in the book, like the way that it's written, the language and vocabulary that's used. Like that is fascinating. Like how can you, or even like a historical character. I think he kind of went into that too. Mm-hmm. Like I can speak to George Washington based on what it's programmed as using historical context and, you know, whatever.
And the characteristics of George Washington and his personality.
And you can, like the student can ask him questions like, so did you have wooden teeth or whatever, you know, like whatever it might be, that this AI can function as a way to, it makes it so interactive.
It's a whole new level of engagement.
It is. Yep. It's just super, super cool. Super cool.
I have so many things I want to say, but I'm going to hold off. Time management. Let's talk time. You know, one of the things Thad said several times is, you know, listen, if we could give teachers a salary that we feel like they deserve, we would. And behind salaries, teachers say, I just got to have more time. Just thinking about AI alone, when you sit down and start playing with some of these tools, it takes time. And if teachers are teaching all day and then they need to respond to emails and then they have to grade, where's that time? So let's talk about time management and how AI could lend itself to helping teachers with that.
So I think about, we're constantly needing to assess our students, right? We're checks for understanding. We need to know where they're at so we can determine where we need to go from there. And that alone is a full-time job, mm-hmm. right? So I think that AI could be used for the lesson generation. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean sitting down and having AI build out an entire PowerPoint or whatever it is you're using for instruction and then presenting it as is, right? We're still going in, we're vetting the information, we're adding our own kind of, you know, character and flavor to our lessons. Like we're still teaching,
right?
But we're able to really focus on the individual student and what they need when we're able to take some of that burden of kind of the daily grind of things that teachers have to do, whether it's exit tickets, assessments, quizzes, like all of these things can be built out using AI.
Well, even which one was the platform that you shared with our teachers about? It creates a PowerPoint essentially.
CuriePod slides. CuriePod can do that.
CuriePod. Well, I mean, listen, teachers are teachers, and not all teachers are graphic designers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it does things for teachers that sometimes takes hours to do, and it just turns around and gives them what they need rather, you know, pretty quickly. So that helps with time, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love it. Early intervention, student support, language learning apps. Those were the other ones that I kind of just wanted to, what comes to mind when we talk about early intervention.
I mean, I would go back to any and all platform that we're using with the predictive analytics, mm-hmm. right? We can't intervene if we don't know where to do that, right? So iXL is actually a great one. They've got a wonderful ELA and math diagnostic tool that the students continually work on throughout the course of the school year. And as they work on it throughout the course of the school year, it's identifying what skills they need practice on, and it's putting those skills into current grade level. So it's all vertical alignment, right?
Okay.
So it makes sure that we're mastering the things that maybe we came in with deficits on, and also mastering that current level of knowledge that we need to be obtaining because we're in the sixth grade. So
discuss the role of AI, and we might have touched on a little bit of this, but discuss the role of AI in developing and implementing adaptive learning technologies that would help with diverse needs of students. So you're in a classroom, you have a variety levels of students, whether they have disabilities or, you know, I mean, I guess me being dyslexic was a disability. I mean, for sure it falls under that umbrella of I don't think and learn and read the same way that other students did in my class, that came naturally. Just my brother alone, it comes very easily and naturally to him. So how can AI help in that situation when you have a class of all different level kids?
I think we use it to level our information that we're trying to get our kiddos to absorb mm-hmm. to the level of reading that they're at. Like, and that applies to all content areas, whether we're talking about English, it's not just an English thing, right? We're reading and writing in every single class.
Yeah. Right.
So it applies across the board for all teachers. Mm-hmm. And one of the really cool things that I saw recently, I actually saw this on TikTok, and this, college freshman was talking about how they're severely dyslexic. And when you get to college, think about the sheer volume of pages mm-hmm. that you have to read just in your basic level coursework, right? He was having to read, you know, 5 books a class, it felt like, throughout the course of just a single semester. And he's severely dyslexic, and he was struggling to keep up with the coursework. He used AI tools to help summarize and condense information so that he could absorb it, digest it, learn it, understand it, and move on with the course of the work and be successful.
And it's a perfect example, and this is where I kind of want to stop and talk about this a little bit, is it's a perfect example of not everybody learns the same, right? Mm-hmm. Not everybody needs the same. School should look differently for different kids.
Yeah, the educational experience should be different for every single kid in the room.
And I get it. I was a teacher. I get it. It's so difficult with the amount of time that you have when you're trying to teach this lesson. Yes, you would love to teach it differently to every student sitting in your class and know that this kid needs more visuals. This kid needs more manipulatives, hands-on. This kid needs more. This kid's got it. Like, this kid actually could move up a level and be working on an enrichment, something that, you know, a GT kid, and they're ready to move.
And the predictive analytics and the platforms that we use, mm-hmm. it works on the other. It's not just about, you know, isolating those gaps and working with the gaps in knowledge. It also helps us realize which kids need to be working at a higher grade level.
Right.
It works on both ends of that spectrum. So it really is meeting the needs of like an individual learner.
Mm-hmm. I want to encourage our parents to, if you haven't, kind of looked into AI resources for your children. obviously this is something FISD is looking into, but I just want to encourage parents out there. If you don't know, if you haven't sat down with any of these AI tools or just how could, are there any AI tools that could help me teach a subject to my child at home? You have a child that is struggling with homework and you don't feel like you have the background in it like you used to, because it's been a while since you've been in school. This is a resource for parents also. Like, explain, ChatGPT is one that comes to my mind, Bard, explain photosynthesis to a fifth grade boy. And when you put that in, I want you to just watch what that output is. And quickly, I'm terrible with examples. I don't know if it's a disability that I have or if it's just me. I am absolutely terrible with examples. But if you're trying to come up with examples for your kid, or if you're explaining it and they're like, I don't get it, this really could be a resource to help you and your student kind of learn difficult subject matters. If nothing else, that's just one thing I want to throw out for parents.
Not even difficult, right? Like, I think back to COVID. I had a kindergartner at home and I had a third grader at home, and working full time and also trying to help them do classwork. I have never felt one more overwhelmed. And two, am I dumb? Like, I do not understand some of these third grade concepts that we're trying to teach here at home. Like, I don't get it. And I think back, if I had a tool, a resource, something more than just Google to try and figure out how to get my kids to understand the things that were needing to be taught at home because we weren't, you know, in school. I can't even imagine like the shift that I would have had as far as feeling overwhelmed and feeling like, when you feel like you can't help your kids do their schoolwork, like, you feel helpless.
Right.
So, and now that my kids are even older, KonMigo, which is the one that we were talking about earlier, like, that is such an awesome resource for parents.
What is that? Tell us what that is.
So it's like personalized tutoring fed by AI, personalized learning. And if you don't understand a concept, now those are going to be much more complex concepts. I can really see some really great applications there with math that could be used. And I have a business degree. My husband is an accountant, and it's difficult sometimes to help with the seventh grade math that's being sent home because the way we were taught is not necessarily the way that it's being taught today. And it helps bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm. Are there three resources for parents that you would say, listen, if you could sit down and just look at, here are three resources that I think would help you as a parent with your child, or you to work on with your child, that could be a resource just for that student?
Yeah, I think ChatGPT obviously is one. My daughter came home, was working on an English assignment, and she was having to write using the race model. Well, I haven't taught ELA, and I wasn't taught what the race model was when I was in junior high. I had no idea what that was. So I put it into ChatGPT, explain to me what the race model is, and provide me an example of how an assignment would be written. You've seen the results, right? The information keeps coming.
It's so awesome.
Seconds. And so I use ChatGPT for me to understand, how am I going to help her do this assignment? Because, you know, inevitably our kids come home. Well, what did your teacher say about this particular? I have no idea. Like, they walk away, like, all information comes out of their brain whenever they leave the building. So we've got to lean on the resources. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I feel like I've talked about it a lot, but I'm going to keep doing it. Chat is one of those that, and I'm not going to say GPT every time at the end of that, so I'm just going to say chat. But chat's one of those that, parents, if you have not gotten on ChatGPT, just go to your computer and put in ChatGPT. I think you have to put in your email.
Yeah, like we could sign up with like our Gmail.
Asks you, do you want to sign up with Facebook, Gmail, all those different ways to sign up.
It is a free account.
Oh, yes, totally.
It is. Like, there's a paid free version and there's a free version.
Yeah, and I've only used the free version, and it's like, I'm really wondering what the paid for version gives you.
It gives you more access. Like, the free version is up to a certain point, whereas the paid version, you get because ChatGPT scours the whole internet.
Right.
Right. And so the paid version, my understanding is it gets you more.
Ah. And I believe that when a high number of users are on it at the same time, it's never happened to me, but Chat 3.0 goes a little slower.
Yes.
But if you're on 4.0, you get the, you're one of the quickest.
And by slower, it's probably literally like 3 seconds longer.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That fast. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Parents, if you do not know what I'm talking about, I'm serious. Please take 10 minutes. But you, I can tell you this right now. If you sat down with 10 minutes, you're going to be there longer than 10 minutes because it's going to blow your mind. I want you to just get on it. And it's all about your prompts. So write an email. With a professional
tone. That is the audience for the email is
right.
XYZ. And we need to explain why we are implementing XYZ initiative.
Right. Yeah. I mean, or even with your company, if you want to send a friendly email to a coworker explaining or saying how thankful and grateful you are for their help yesterday in a presentation. Put that in. I want you to watch it work.
I've even utilized for like recipes. I love the shows where they have to include like certain things. Like they get a basket and these ingredients must be included in whatever you make. I haven't played around with that, but like if you were to go in your pantry, create a meal based on these ingredients, like it would come up with a recipe. I've used it for road trip. So I was traveling from Boston to Bar Harbor, Maine. So come up with the best route and include 3 stops along the way. We want to get here still in a timely manner. Builds an itinerary out.
It's beautiful.
It's super cool. And you can be really specific with it. Like if I wanted it to be a 3-day itinerary, you know, for even though it was like a 5-hour drive, like we want to stop and stay here. It gives like hotel recommendations. Like it's fascinating. It's really cool. Like it's just, it does so much. I even put in yesterday, executive coaching training. And there was something, this is not my realm, but there was a table we had to fill out and I was actually able to copy and paste the table into ChatGPT and have it give me examples of how to complete that table. And it put it in a table form.
That's incredible.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about this. Cause I can hear parents saying, oh no. Oh, this is so upsetting. So this is cheating. So now chat is gonna, that's not fair. Chat can start writing papers and doing the work for people that they should be doing it themselves. Let's talk about that for a second. We all have different opinions and we're gonna share some of those right now. Let's just talk about writing a paper. Okay.
Let's acknowledge that yes, it could be used for cheating. Just like when the internet first came about, everybody went to Wikipedia and tried to copy and paste Wikipedia and turn that in as their term paper. And so it can be used for nefarious purposes. Mm-hmm. It can be used for evil, right? But that's every tool. That's every tool mm-hmm. that we have. And so let's just acknowledge that and be aware of that. But also let's also look at, okay, how did we address those concerns when the internet first came around? You know, how have we always addressed plagiarism? For one thing, let's also recognize we still really care a whole lot about academic integrity.
Right.
It means a whole lot. So I'm proud that we still really care a whole lot about that. And then let's look and see what tools are out there like Turnitin.com. That is looking, has algorithms built in to see, okay, what is the percentage that this paper that's being turned in is generated from AI? And it's not perfect, but it's doing pretty good. And the way I think we're going to get more and more of those products coming out, they're going to get better and better at that. Also, and this is something Lana has talked a whole awful lot about, is do you know your people? Do you know your kids? Do you know your students? Do you know each other? Would they write like that? Would they talk like that? Does that sound like their voice, right? And so that's another great reason for building relationships with your kids and getting to know their voice. And so that's another clue to say, okay, is this real or was this generated by ChatGPT?
Mm-hmm. I don't need an AI detector to tell me that a 12-year-old used AI if they use the word moreover in an assignment, right? Like we know kids don't talk like that.
Right. another great indicator for if you have some suspicions, let's say they wrote the paper in Google Docs. if you're looking at Google Docs, there's a little tool that up at the top right. It has like, it looks like a little clock. You can click on that and see what was the last edit to this page. And if you see a blank page and then the next edit is a whole block of text, that was probably copy and pasted.
It's a time stamped activity log for your Google Doc.
Yes. And so I think our responsibility for us as educators and parents is just like with every other tool, teaching its proper use so that it is a tool and not a crutch. When we're putting in these prompts to ChatGPT, they're only as good as our knowledge and expertise and being able to communicate what we need ChatGPT to do for us, and then being able to evaluate how good is that, because it's not perfect. It could give us some hot garbage. And we need to be able to look at that and say, okay, no, that's not good enough. We need to try again. One of the things that I did when I first started playing with ChatGPT was like, okay, my kids are really big into Marvel superheroes. And so I wanted to say, hey, write me a story about Spider-Man battling a villain, and it ends up with him barely winning. And so I did like this 4-paragraph short story. It wasn't very good. Like, it was written at a very, very low level. But if I had had more prompts and more specific instructions, it could have done more for me. And so when it comes to cheating, I think we need to be aware of, number one, we're going to find more and more tools to help us combat cheating. Number two, it's something that we've always dealt with in education. And number three, it's a tool that we don't want to not use just because it could be used for ill.
Mm-hmm. I see you itching to share your opinions over there.
Well, I guess it's just, if I could come up with some really great examples, I think it would help my argument. I just think we spend so much time, and there are going to be some angry teachers when they hear this. I think teaching kids how to write is very important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't think research papers are. I'm just going to say it.
I am so intrigued. Please tell me more.
I wasn't good at it. It frustrated me as a student. I have my master's degree. I think it's absurd that when you go into certain fields, they spend so much time making you write research papers, because that's not how I live my life. I'm in communications. Mm-hmm. I have never written a research paper. Mm-hmm. What are we doing to kids? And it's like kids are dropping out of school because we want them, by God, to write a research paper and make sure they can cite this and cite this and do this. I'm telling y'all, it's absurd. So I don't know. I've said it. I'm going to keep saying it. What if we gave kids chat and said, use it however you want to use it this year, however you want to use it. There's no such thing as cheating. If I tell you this is your assignment and you use chat to write it, and you stand up and talk about it, and you can do all those things.
Did you not learn it? If you're standing up there and talking about it, that's the argument, right?
I don't understand how we call that cheating. I feel like
this could be a whole new, like a complete podcast of itself.
It could be.
This is incredible. I love this.
It could be. I just feel like people are so, we've heard so many people say, oh, I really feel more comfortable if we could really set some parameters with, that's what we need in education. We need more parameters. I'm sorry. I'm just a little frustrated, but I am a frustrated student, right?
Yes.
In general, I'm a frustrated student of, and listen, y'all, I love school. College and getting my master's was some of the most enjoyable times for me. And I love my work, but I use chat all the time in my work, and I'm a professional, and it's not cheating. So I would argue that till the end. Now, I don't say it well. I don't have great examples for people that are super smart and tell me why they think it's cheating. I can't really come back with good examples on my own, but I disagree. I disagree. We don't want any more rules or regulations. That's me. But see, I don't have to, y'all have to enforce all this. You have to deal with teachers saying, wait, Dana, this is cheating. And my boys tell me, well, hold on, Mom. It is important that you know how to do certain things. And I would argue it's not.
I think if we are fully leaning into the instructional models that focus on enhancing teaching and learning and being innovative and transforming education. Like, we have a responsibility to make sure that education is relevant, right? If we're doing all of those things, then it's, when we talk about AI, it's a paradigm shift. It's not, should we use AI? Can we use AI? Should we block it? Why shouldn't we block it? That's not even the argument. The argument is, why aren't we building activities and enriching, engaging assignments that allow our kids to show what they've learned in any way possible?
So instead of it just being a research paper, maybe we could use ChatGPT to say, hey, this is the topic. This is the challenge. What is almost like a project that yes. I could put together yes. and build and apply this yes. knowledge
right.
and demonstrate my knowledge in that way instead of just having to write a paper about it.
That's where we need to be heading in education yeah. right there. Here are five resources, kids, five resources. Mm-hmm. I want you to build out an outline. I want you to build a presentation. I want you to, you come up with some creative form that explains this topic.
Yeah.
You have all of this at your fingertips. You come up with the most exciting way to discover, create, present. That's where we should be heading. Yeah.
And that's individualized. It's embracing, it's empowering, because now they're probably actually enjoying what they're doing more because they have a voice and a choice in what they are doing and learning. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's so, we were talking about master's programs and I think we discussed this, like, so in my master's, you know, I had a thesis. So I wrote my thesis and it's like, okay, it was fascinating. I still chose a subject close to my heart and it was still a fascinating thing to get into. But did I really learn a lot of things that I've applied, like from the thesis alone, versus in my undergrad, I had two capstone classes. One was, we partnered with a local business. This was my advertising minor. And we ran an ad campaign for that local business. And then for my major, we actually had to do a short documentary. And the skills and the experience that I developed.
Talk about authentic learning experiences. Right.
You can't even compare the two. Like, you just can't even compare the value. And then not to mention, I had additional tangible things for my portfolio for when I started applying for jobs. So it's like, I mean, I know there's value in all things. And my husband literally works in research, y'all. Like, my husband is literally writes essentially research papers for lawyers. Mm. Yeah, I mean, essentially.
Oh, so when he presents the information he has researched, he has to put it in research form.
Yes.
Oh gosh, that sounds awful.
You just made, so like when you said you're going to stir the pot today, man, you did. Like, I was not expecting that. And I am so excited to be in the room with you right now. But what Kelsey just said was kind of what I was chewing on while I was listening to you guys is, all right, let me push back a little bit. But I'm not going to say what if. I know that we still need to teach certain critical communication skills in writing.
Right.
How to organize ideas. Mm-hmm. How to communicate those thoughts and mm-hmm. ideas effectively. How to write a technical manual versus how to write a narrative story. Short form versus long form. Tone, voice, right? All of those things.
Right.
Those things are not inherent to us. We have to practice those things. We have to learn those things and we have to develop our own voice and our own techniques in those things. And so I think the challenge is, how do we use AI to continue teaching those critical communication skills in writing that allows us to keep moving forward, to keep disseminating information? Because the Gutenberg Press is one of the greatest things that ever happened on planet Earth, because it disseminated information so rapidly, right?
Right.
And so disseminating information is still going to be critical. Well, what if that information sounds not very smart?
Right. Right.
Nobody, we're going to stop paying attention to each other and what we have to say. And so I feel like the balance, like we need a balance between using AI to open up our ideas for how a student presents their knowledge and their learning, while still at the same time teaching those basic skills, those basic writing skills, for the purpose of ensuring that the human race can still communicate in an intelligent way.
Yes. My only pushback would be, I agree with everything you said. Not all brains can do that efficiently on their own.
I totally agree with that.
So how can we start allowing these tools to even out the playing field where some people, their brain does not work the way others do, that can articulate things very well and say it very well, and this person over here really struggles to communicate what they're thinking?
I think we've all had a student who maybe when they sit down to do the assignment, draws a blank or just can't articulate the written word. But if you sat and had a conversation with them, their level of understanding is not aligned with what they can write.
Right. True. Right.
And so why aren't we giving these kids the opportunity to articulate that learning in whatever mode is beneficial to them? Now, that doesn't mean we don't have to teach them or they don't need to learn to do things in different ways. We still do, but we need to also have an emphasis on what works best for them.
Well, and I think too, like we're talking about like developing essential skills, but it is interesting how we teach and foster certain skills for 12 plus years and others maybe for one, you know? So what are like, are we looking at the true need and use as our world has evolved for some of the things that we are teaching and putting such heavy value on, you know, like, yes. Like if someone is drawn to maybe writing and might pursue narrative writing, or the rare person who enjoys like Sean, I do not understand for the life of me, writing research reports, you know, it sounds horrible.
It comes easy to him.
Right. He's great at it. Right. And, so like you've learned this love and school has essentially fostered that, like that love for you. But this kid over here who does not share in that same love or interest or talent even, maybe kind of just gets left behind and their skills or their talents aren't given the same level of value or importance.
Well, I've always said if we take some high level writers and make them for 12 to 13 years draw out or do an interpretive dance of their thoughts, they would quit school.
Yes. Absolutely. And like I was listening to Kelsey and you just nailed it right there. I'm excited to see what AI could do in terms of personalization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that we don't have to have every child grow up to be a expert communicator in writing, right? We need human beings to spread the entire spectrum of productivity and give them opportunities to have a basic understanding in almost all areas, most areas, while giving them an opportunity to maximize their strengths.
Yeah.
And we don't really have a good method for doing that right now, whether it be in any form of education. Really in any form of education. But what if AI can start recognizing those patterns and start providing predictive learning opportunities for those kiddos, saying, hey, you know what, you have these really good strengths. What if you started demonstrating your knowledge in this way?
Mm-hmm. Or what if we used ChatGPT to say, I have a student who excels in these areas, struggles in these other areas. What sort of project-based learning would you recommend? I think ChatGPT would offer some really great suggestions.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, we haven't gotten like super, super into it, but like we are in the middle with our committee exploring several resources, and like teachers have gotten their hands on through demos and then just being able to play around with some of the platforms to say, ooh, I can really see how I would use this in my classroom. And so I think there's different platforms for different things. Like I've been playing around more and more, but like we did, I've shared about this, but not on the podcast. We did a video recently where I actually utilized AI to generate a script for the video. It was very detailed in what I gave it. So it was a better script for that reason. And then I turned around and was able to use another platform through doing research and just playing around with different tools, because some were horrible, to generate a voice to do the voiceover for the video.
Very human sounding voice.
Yes. And it's just so cool. So I think even just the tools, like we think on such a broad spectrum sometimes, but also I think we can be very narrow. Like we've talked about, I think when people hear about like AI, they immediately go to cheating with essay writing. And it's like, but the spectrum is so broad. The uses are so broad. And I think it's just going to keep getting more and more specific where one platform excels at this thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I just think we need to stop limiting to this one area of like major fear. Like there's so many uses for it.
And you bring up a really good point, and that is that it's going to grow.
Yeah.
Are the tools that we have available to us are going to grow? We were talking about this the other day. Don't fall in love with any current tool in AI right now. 6 months, it's going to be a whole new landscape. Right.
Mm-hmm. And we've learned with technology, the computer, internet, it's exponential. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is multiplying and it is growing exponentially. And so I agree with you. Don't get stuck on any one tool because there's already here's the problem. There's already something out there that a lot of people are using that we don't even know about. I found out chat's been around for 3 years now or something. Like, how am I just learning about this?
Yeah. Well, and it really felt like, I don't know if you kind of felt the same way or y'all have felt the same way. It's almost seemed like we were just kind of starting to use ChatGPT and like kind of for us at least being introduced to AI in our own work. Right. And then it literally felt like there was just like 1 week where all of these platforms we use, like Canva, like Hootsuite, like whatever, all started doing these updates where they had AI integration into them. And it was like all kind of at the same time where, and it's just fascinating. And they've just grown so much what we can do with these tools. It's amazing. It's amazing. So it seems like it's just coming really, it just keeps getting more and more.
I think it's funny that like we talk a lot about ChatGPT and I love ChatGPT.
I do too.
But I read this article and they were saying that ChatGPT is like the MySpace of AI platforms.
I believe it.
That's rude. I really like it.
It has opened up a world to me personally. So I'm very excited about what else is out there. You know, it's just one of those tools that I've just been introduced to and that I think is fascinating. And I don't think in my world necessarily everybody knows about it. I mean, I've talked to a lot of different professionals about it and a lot of them haven't used it. They know about it. They just haven't used it for their own business. So I do think there's still a lot more growth, you know, that could come with chat. But listen, one thing I do want to say, I'm an advocate. I've always been an advocate for students being advocates for themselves, is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, we say a lot about these are great resources for teachers, but I just want to say if you're a student, and especially if you're a student with, you feel like you have somewhat of a disability or you're not even disability, you just don't quite enjoy that subject and you're not as, you don't feel like it comes naturally to you. I would love for you to even get on and say, how can this AI resource be of use to you and how can you use it as a tool to help you? And I'm not saying cheat with it. I'm saying if you don't understand a concept, how can you get it to, you know, explain to you ways that maybe you can understand something? You don't need to wait for your teacher to teach you. This is available to you for you to get on to use it as a tutor to help you grow.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. What other thoughts have we not really talked about that you felt like that we needed to talk about before we kind of end our AI discussion? Parents, if you're listening to this and you have questions, put them in the comments below. We would love to have this debate and discussion. If you want to email me personally, you want to share some thoughts and ideas with me, DOwen@fisdk12.net. I would love to hear from you.
I guess what I could say is like, we also have such an understanding for everybody is where they are mentally in this whole AI thing. So like if to not be comfortable is not a bad thing. And so like we are in such early stages of discussion for what this is going to look like in FISD in particular. True. And we are definitely valuing all of the different perspectives and concerns. And we want to be able to address those responsibly. And, but I also think that we are
very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
But we're excited about where this can go.
True. And listen, our thoughts may change. You know, this may take a turn and we're like, this took a turn and that, you know, I no longer think it's a healthy sort of thing. That's not where I am right now. But you're right. I absolutely care about everyone's opinion.
I think it's just having that understanding that, like, it may be scary, like, especially with headlines, like we kind of touched on that. There's just certain things, and the unknown is always scary. Change is always scary. And so, like, we have grace and understanding for that, but we want to walk through this as a team between admin, campuses, students, teachers, parents. We want to work together to just see where we ultimately, our goal is to have the best educational experience for students. So I think we're all on the same team with that. And as long as we keep that at the forefront of this conversation, we're good.
Well, you did bring up a good point that I want to address. You know, media loves to sell fear.
Yes.
So I'm not one driver. I'm not saying that this can be used in bad ways. I'm sure someone with a bad mind can figure out a way to use this in a bad way. But you're going to hear the media talk about AI and the problems with it and what it could do in our schools and to our schools. And just remember, they really sell fear. And so,
yes,
don't fall for the clickbait.
Don't fall for it. No one loves, I'm telling you right now, you guys, with all my heart, our board, our teachers, our administration, everyone in this room has the best interest of your child, mm-hmm. of children in general. We're in the business of children. This is what we do. We would never do something knowingly to harm your children, you as parents, your families. So hopefully you know us by now and know where we stand in that. But this has been a great discussion today with AI. We have so much more to discover and to learn about AI, and we're looking forward to doing that alongside you, our partners, as parents and students and teachers. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Look forward to working with y'all in the future.
Yes, likewise.
Okay. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks. You too.
You too.